That's the music of the classic rock band Little Feat. I've been playing their music on the radio for a long, long time. And they're going to be coming to our town in just under 2 weeks. Thursday the 23rd, they'll be playing on the Bottleneck Blues Bar at the Ameristar Casino in St. Charles. And here is the piano player, keyboard player for Little Feat, who has also been a guest on this show a couple of times through the years. I'm happy to welcome him back, Bill Payne. Hi, Bill.
I'm doing fine, Paul. Hi.
I'm doing just great, too. By the way, a couple of years ago, these guys released a DVD called High Wire Act, recorded live here in St. Louis, that became so popular they turned it into a double CD as well. So St. Louis has been good to you, hasn't it? Yeah. I was looking through some history on you today, and we've talked about lots of stuff through the years, but I didn't know that you were once so broke that you were living out of your car. Is that true?
That is true. It's not necessarily a matter of being broke, but just starting out. You know, I dropped out of junior college. My volleyball coach, by the way, was John Madden, who later went on to coach the Oakland Raiders.
Really?
Yeah. He signed everybody up and says, "Look, I got a football team to run," and walked away. I go, "Man, who the hell is that?" John Madden, okay, good. But yeah, I slept in my car. I was sleeping on the beach, quite literally, and yeah, doing a lot of things before I tagged up with Lowell George.
And when you and how did you meet Lowell?
I had made a call to was it Bizarre Records? Or I had a choice of two. There was Bizarre and Straight. I chose to call Bizarre Records, and which were both Frank Zappa's labels. And after a flurry of calls, they finally introduced me to Lowell George.
And all those years that you and Lowell worked together, you made great rock and roll, and then he, of course, had the heart attack, and the band kind of went away for a little while and then reappeared in the 80s and has been touring ever since. Do you go out on long tours, or is it kind of a, you know, we're going to go out and do one night here or a weekend there?
No, we tend to go out for anywhere from two weeks to 2 months. I mean, it just depends. So it's a race around the clock all year long.
You like being on the road, don't you?
I have a lot of fun out there. I was just driving around the Keweenaw Peninsula where I live, taking photos all day.
Uh-huh.
I thought, well, I was just in New Orleans about a month and a half ago doing the same thing. So it's fun. Plus, the payoff is we get a chance to play some great music.
Yeah. Little Feat, by the way, has also come out with a new live CD called Barnstormin' Live, and Bill has his own CD, an instrumental kind of, would you call this a jazz CD, Bill?
It has some elements of jazz. It's a little different than that, but it's kind of like a Little Feat record. It's hard to describe, but
yeah.
It's called Cielo Norte, which means North Sky.
Right.
And it's all instrumental stuff, and it's been doing relatively well.
Now, I was listening to this in the office before coming in the studio today, and I was looking through the liner notes, and you wrote this: "Some of the most satisfying moments I've had as a musician have been in a room by myself, an audience of one." Now, that was stunning to me, considering you've been part of a band for 30 years.
Well, yeah, in fact, 35 years, but I've been playing since I was 5 years old.
So uh-huh.
There's just those moments when you're in a really good groove and you're capturing some stuff that you're the only one listening to it, and yet part of the deal of being an artist is having that, but also wanting to share it. And that's a good. I was reading the liner notes, in fact, Paul, on a record called Alone, which is by Bill Evans, and that record was definitely jazz. And he was talking about that where he was allowing people to finally get in and kind of hear what he did on his own. And that's the way I felt, too. It was this is a chance for me to share with people what I do when I'm not out with Little Feat, when I'm not playing, you know, with Jimmy Buffett or any number of other people I work with on the road and or doing records. This kind of stuff I play when I'm just in a room by myself.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you guys are working with Jimmy Buffett right now or have been recently. Is that on his new album or your new album?
It's on our album. It's our album, I should say, on his label. And, yeah, it's great stuff. I mean, I had a chance to play on Jimmy's last record. License to Chill.
Mm-hmm.
Played a few live shows with him last year. Played at Fenway Park a couple nights, and Texas Stadium, 60,000 people down there. We're doing some, I should say Jimmy's doing some dates this summer, which he's invited me on a few of them.
Nice. Those parrot heads are pretty amazing, aren't they?
They really are, and it's... You know, it's fun music to play. Mike Otley and I, Mike is the other keyboard player in that band, who's actually the leader of that group, the Coral Reefer Band. He and, he and I have been playing sessions for years with each other. I think we knew each other back during the Rita Coolidge days when Rita and Chris Christopherson were hanging out in Los Angeles. So, it's a real good handshake between Utley and myself. Mac McAnally and I, who's also in that band, and a real key player, and a great singer and songwriter and on his own right, we are co-producing this Little Feet and Friends album. I don't know what it's going to be called yet, but we've got a few folks, which I'm not at liberty to say right now who's on it, but it's a good selection of people, and we're very happy to be working on it.
That's great. Now, when I was thinking about talking to you today, I was trying to remember the first time I saw you. I'm pretty sure it was when I was in college, which would be the mid-70s.
Okay.
And I think, Billy, you were the first keyboardist I saw playing two keyboards at the same time on stage. There may have been other people who were doing it already, but I think you were the first person I ever saw doing two keyboards at the same time. How did that start?
Well, I used to play not only piano, but I played pipe organ at a Presbyterian church in Ventura, California. That's where I learned how to play that instrument anyway.
Uh-huh.
We had a rehearsal hall later with Little Feet down in La Brea in Los Angeles that Jackson Brown, I think, and I know Linda Ronstadt shared the very same room. So I went down there. Linda was there. She was asleep on either the floor or on some sort of bench. I said, it's okay, you can go ahead and play, and I think she split, but there were two keyboards set up, and rather than me switch them over, I was just starting to try something different, and I came up with this one lick, which later turned out to be a song called Wait Till the Blank Hits the Fan, and that's sort of how I started that, but it really, it goes back to when I used to play on a 5-manual pipe organ in Ventura.
Interesting.
You're switching off hands and whatnot.
Did you do a lot of songwriting in the studio, creating there in the studio rather than somewhere else?
Not a whole lot. I think it's a little easier. I've been involved in projects where people are trying to write in the studio, and it's always it's an exercise in terror, as it always is, but it's a lot better, and I feel more comfortable writing out of the studio.
So how did that work when you and Lowell were putting together some of those Little Feet classics that we all know so well? Would you work on them separately? Would you come together and do it and then bring it to the rest of the guys and they would add their stuff? Or was it ever fully formed?
There was a lot of stuff that was just brought in at the last second to the band. There was, in the beginning, Lowell and I wrote a lot together, and then he began to write more on his own, which was, he came up with some great stuff. I mean, Fat Man in the Bathtub was a wonderful tune.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like on the arrangement side of things, that is, as good as that song was, I was able to add a lick, that da 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 bum 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 bum. And then Dixie Chicken, I've got a piano right in front of me here. Let's see if we can hear it.
Okay.
That lick there was something I just threw in off the top of my head. That became a signature lick as well. So Paul Barrera does a lot of that stuff. So we have a chance during the process of writing to write whatever we're going to do, and then inevitably, whether it's Richie on the drums with a wonderful pattern or Kenny Gradney with a great bass line and say Time Loves a Hero, Paul innumerable times has come up with great stuff. You were just playing Let It Roll before we started talking.
Yep.
He had a couple of great licks in that. That's kind of the way it works, which sort of, you throw the icing on the cake after the song is written.
Now, when you come up with a signature lick, as you call it, like that great one at the beginning of Dixie Chicken, you then have to play it that way for the rest of your life, don't you?
Well, you can, but if you speak the language, which musically I tend to think I do,
yeah,
you can vary it. So if you're going... you can just kind of play around it,
mm-hmm.
and that's really what the fun is, and so you give the people the context of where everything is, and then all right, they know where they are, so you can begin to play with it, and they like that too, so it's fun all the way around, because it is music's a participatory sport, much like any other art. You know, it's what the audience brings to the table. It's what we're fortunate enough to bring them as well. But it takes two to tango in this case.
And when you have that ability to keep it fresh like that, mm-hmm. does that mean you never get sick of it? Are there songs in the Little Feat catalog that you played for a long time? You said, you know what? I'm never playing that song again.
I think if you play them night after night after night, I'm talking about a set group of tunes, that can become a little tedious. But if we have to play Dixie Chicken virtually every night or most of the time, we have enough tricks to offset it. And we, with the other songs in the set too that we play, that makes it a new event every night as well. But it's unusual. I don't know how unusual it is. I shouldn't say that, but it's been really interesting to observe this band grow. I mean, when I'm out with Buffett, I'm in a different band and playing with different people. It's 30, 40,000 people going crazy.
Yep.
But I get up there with Little Feat, and, it's not a situation where you can fool yourself as to how good it is. We either have it or we don't, and thankfully we still have it, which is a lot of energy and a lot of inventiveness when we play. So it's still a lot of fun, even after all these years of doing it.
Talking with Bill Payne, the keyboard player for Little Feat, here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX. They're going to be out at Ameristar on the 23rd. They got a new CD out called Barnstormin' Live. And Bill's got a solo CD called Cielo Norte, The North Sky, that's just come out as well. Speaking of playing the piano, a few years ago I was talking to Billy Joel on the show, and
uh-huh.
and he said that one of the downsides of being a piano player is that you can't strap it on like a guitar and whip it around and play to the crowd and drive the chicks crazy. Is it,
well, Billy Joel also told me that in one of his lucid moments in the studio, I worked with him on an album. Actually, not an album. It was from a movie called Runaway Bride with mm-hmm. Julia Roberts. And for some reason, he called me into play some keyboards. But we were talking about the modal scales. He says, I was married to a modal once. whether he was able to thrash around with a guitar or not is who was a guy that used to play with not Weatherford, it was Jan Hammer.
Yeah,
he was one of those guys that did strap on a keyboard as he had a guitar and would go up there and play. And I watched him and Jeff Beck one time, and Jeff Beck kind of let him go for a while, and then he just, with this look of disdain which I'll never forget, just stepped on one of his own pedals and just left Jan Hammer sitting in the dust.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think with keyboards and synthesizers and whatnot, there's a lot of things you can do where you sound like something, and that's cool, but when you put it up against the real thing, especially with people who really know what they're doing, an exercise and futility problem.
Yeah. Who were the rock and roll piano players who influenced you?
Well, I'd start off with Little Richard, Ray Charles, the stuff on whoever was playing keyboards for Elvis Presley.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really great stuff there.
And we just lost Johnny Johnson, St. Louis
yeah.
legend, here about a month ago.
Absolutely, and he has to be included in on that list as well. And the list is one that continues because Paul, you bring up an interesting subject with regards to influences. Those influences they start when you're starting off your career or you're starting your ability to play or to absorb the fact that you might want to play. But they continue, and so it could be somebody that's older than you playing or somebody that's 20, 30 years younger. The influences go back and forth, and I think that's one of the most satisfying things of being a musician is for a guy that took the Groucho Marx line almost literally, I would never join a club that would accept me as a member.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a club for 35 years, and the club is Little Feet. And I'm in a larger group of people that are wonderful musicians, and then the extension of that are these wonderful fans that have a very eclectic sense of taste and of music, of food, of books, of their own careers that are as interesting as anything we do. We're very fortunate to have the fans that we have.
You know, a lot of your fans are taping your shows and have been for a long time, and there's a lot of controversy now about people downloading music off the Internet and artists not getting paid for it. What's your philosophy on that?
Well, I think, you know, it's just like anything else. People have to ask themselves, if they're bakers, they want to give away bread, go ahead. If they want to give it away exclusively or have people walk in and take it, that's something else. I also do, however, think that the record labels, whether they allowed it to happen or not, they ignored the fact that it could happen, which just opened the door wide. And so for those fans that were talking to me at the time and going, yeah, well, the record companies are ripping you off, I go, well, why don't you just stand in line then? what are you trying to tell me? I said, look, we're going to give away music. That's you know, we're okay with that. If you want to download it, on your conscience, go ahead. But it's at some point, people step up to the plate and they buy, and you know, they buy. It's you know, once the barn door is open, it's really difficult to stop it. So I'm not a crusher either way. But I think that the labels were really remiss in not at least paying attention a little more and giving people a reason to buy things by expanding what they were doing, which is to say, give away some stuff too. I mean,
yeah, give some away as a promotional thing, let people download that, and then maybe they'll go out and buy the whole CD or a whole iTunes album of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I bet iTunes has been good for you guys.
We have some great friends over it at iTunes and Macintosh, and, you know, gosh, you don't last for 35 years in a vacuum, that's for sure.
Yep.
And St. Louis has been a wonderful area for us. It's no secret that Gary Bennett, who's from your area, was a huge component of helping us out. I think still is, but it's nice to have some good friends.
Well, I know you're going to pack them in there over at the Ameristar Casino. It's June 23rd, a Thursday night, 2 weeks from yesterday. Little Feet in concert. Bill Payne will be there on the piano, and the rest of the band will be there. And who's the woman who's your lead singer now?
Well, she's one of the lead singers. Her name is Sean Murphy, and I met her working with Bob Seger. I've been on the last two Seger tours in 88 and I think it was 98. Mm-hmm. Or 86 and 96, excuse me. And Sean has sung with Eric Clapton, with Bruce Hornsby, with Moody Blues, and a terrific singer. A good writer, too. So she's been in our band for about 10 years now.
Good. Well, it should be a great show. June 23rd out at Ameristar, and the new CD, which just came out a couple of weeks ago, is called Barnstormin' Live, and Bill also has a solo CD called Cielo Norte. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, Bill.
Paul, thank you very much.
Bill Payne of Little Feet here on the Paul Harris Show. It's News Talk 1120 KMOX.